Radio NFM, die stem van die Namakwa mense, moedig die vryheid van spraak en die uiting van uiteenlopende sienings aan. Sienings van luisteraars en ateliergaste is dis hul eie en nie die van Radio NFM nie. Radio NFM neem alle programme op aan. Herhalende opmerkings, kreetaal, diskriminerende sienings of skeltaal sal ook nie geduld word nie.
In our focus this afternoon to the policy document that has sparked widespread debate across South Africa, including the international residents, so to say, pertaining to the revised draft white paper on citizenship, immigration, refugee protection, recently which has been published by the Department of Home Affairs. It whereby, according to the Department of Home Affairs, it proposes a significant changes as to how South Africa manages in terms of the citizenship, immigration control and refugee protection, and whereby supporters argue that it strengthens the national security, while critics warn that it may undermine the constitutional rights, human dignity and South Africa's international obligation. As we know that prior, some of the years ahead has been rejected. Now it has been revisited. But with all of that being said, to help us to unpack these complicity, sensitivity, we are being joined by Princess Mthombeni, co-founder of South Africans for the Constitutional Reform, an organization that advocates for the constitutional compliance, human rights and accountability when it comes to governance. Ms. Mthombeni, good afternoon and thank you very much for joining us.
Good afternoon, Sipiwe. Thank you for having me.
Let us all start. What can you tell us about this paper which is being revisited? What would be even its purpose coming to that?
Sipiwe, as you explained what this white paper is, it's essentially the government's plan to fix how immigration, asylum and citizenship are managed in South Africa. Right now, things at Home Affairs are fragmented and chaotic. There's different policies, systems and rules all over the place. So this revised white paper aims to bring some order to that. It applies to everyone, migrants, asylum seekers, refugees, permanent residents and citizens. At its core, it's about answering three questions: who can come in and who gets to stay under what conditions. I think that's the simplest way to understand it. But this is not the first white paper South Africa has published. There's one that was published in 2004. So now they have revised the 2024 white paper to incorporate new things. And what are those new things? This white paper brings everything together under one framework. Before, immigration, asylum and citizenship were treated separately. Now, they are all under one policy. There's also strong focus on digital systems such as biometrics and electronic travel authorization, which aims to improve the administrative systems and make processing visa and asylum claims smoother. Also, there's an introduction of new visa categories such as remote work, skills-based visa, and startups. Also, the white paper now introduces what we call the first safe country principle. This means that asylum seekers are expected to apply for asylum in the first safe country they reach, not travel all the way from West Africa to South Africa to seek asylum status. And I think those are important acknowledgement. But as South Africans, we are asking simple questions. Will this reduce illegal immigration? Will it protect jobs? Will it reduce pressure on public hospitals and schools? And we are not getting answers from this white paper, Sipiwe.
And having those questions which you just rhetorically ask, which says you guys hit a dead end or a wall, basically, what would you say is the response that you guys have received, or the comment which has been conveyed by the Department of Home Affairs during the consultation which was recently held over the weekend?
What we can say, Sipiwe, with regards to the consultation workshop, I attended the very first one, which happened in Durban. The session was led by senior officials from the Department of Home Affairs, including the Director General and two Deputy Director General responsible for policy and immigration matters. The minister was not present at ours. What was presented to us was not a set of final policy positions, but a series of real-world scenarios that the department is currently dealing with. And I have to say, we left that workshop with heavy hearts. The officials explained Uguti department is operating under intense constitutional and legal constraints, many of which arise from court rulings. And there were different examples, many examples that they made. And one of the most important example that came out was not example, but the point that came out was who participate in this process of reviewing this paper. I asked directly whether foreign nationals are allowed to submit inputs into the review of this white paper. The answer I got from Home Affairs was yes, and that means South African policy on citizenship and immigration is being shaped through a public participation process that includes non-citizens. Also, we were taken through different scenarios that explain why the state says its hands are often tied. One example that was explicitly mentioned is that following a court decision, millions of asylum seekers and refugees are currently receiving the 350 rand COVID-19 social grant.
Is there any expectations of public hearings for the local community members, for also for them to get an understanding on this paper, having that this one was mere of the national level? So is there an expectations from the local level for Glenda, for the international or foreign nationals also to participate, and also including the residents on the ground also to have their own inputs?
Yes, number one, the residents, communities, they first need to read the white paper. There's an email address on the white paper on how people can make their submissions and to whom. Then they can use that email address to submit their inputs. But these stakeholder consultation workshops, CPWA, they are not just for national people. I mean, Home Affairs is going to different provinces. They were in Cape Town, I think, yesterday. So they will be traveling to different provinces to do this stakeholder consultation. But people have to read the white paper and submit individually. If you do not want to submit individually, then you can submit via us, the South Africans for Constitutional Reform, where you complete our Google form and tell us your inputs. And if you also don't have inputs that you can give us, it's fine. All we want is authorizations that we are representing South Africans. And the Google form is available on my socials. I'm on X, I'm on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. My name is Princy Mthombeni, P-R-I-N-C-Y Mthombeni, on all socials.
And how can South Africa reform its immigration without sacrificing when it comes to human rights, regional solidarity, and also the constitutional integrity? Because we know that to be the very welcoming country, you know, and we know, although we had some of the instances of the events of being labeled as xenophobic.
You're asking very important questions, because one of the things that the recommendations that came up or proposals was that why not withdraw from the 1951 United Nations Refugee Convention, which the Department of Home Affairs responded saying that was conceded, but then the cabinet advised against it, and I think it's diplomatic issues now, and so that is no longer okay. They did didn't say that's no longer an option, but by their look, it looked like it's no longer an option. Because, but also the CPWA, they said even if we do withdraw, our constitution still compels the same protections. I mean, one of the scenarios that they made was that people fleeing a death penalty in their own countries can come to South Africa, and there's very little that we can do as South Africa. We have to give them asylum status, give them benefits such as free health care and all these services. And yeah, I know many people are already saying, but what if you're fleeing persecution because you are probably gay? you know, which we do acknowledge. But that's not what Home Affairs said. Remember, our constitution says everyone has a right to life. It doesn't say your right to life, you lose it when you killed somebody in your country. No, and our constitution says everyone. And that's another thing, because why we advocate for the amendment of this constitution. This constitution is clear. When it comes to voting, it says citizens have a right to vote. But when it comes to all other things, it says everyone. And government has been losing court cases because of this term everyone. And many people always debate by saying, but we all know everyone meant black, white, whatever, South Africans, which is fine. We all understand that. But that's not how you debate your argument in court. So government has been losing cases because of this term everyone. So I think it's about time we fix the constitution, because it has become a serious problem in our country.
Having that, the ambiguity of the constitution or the blurness of it, where do we come to the point of fixation or for our system to be able to work with the other countries' system? Having that, a person can run from that side. We do not know what is the person running from. It could be that they are being seeked for or most wanted person for murder. Also, there is other person, we know that LGBTQ having that it is illegal to behave in certain manner, you know, where we are, for us, it's a democratic country.
Yes, it is a democratic country. And because the biggest problem is that when we signed this 1951 UN Convention, UN Convention, is that we did not sign it with reservations. Unlike countries such as Zambia, Botswana, all these countries, many countries in Africa, they signed that with reservations. So we just signed it because I think we thought that we can cater for everyone in Africa. But now it's becoming a problem for us. Because there are no reservations.
Yeah, ne, buffet, unlimited, bottomless. But with all of that being said, where do we draw the line, having that from a person who's from Nigeria, skipping the whole other countries, then boom, South Africa. Where do we get to say, okay, there's a neighboring country, so you can run from there, or you can be accommodated in there. So as a country, we can speak for you. But rather than to come this side, because it is coming overpopulated, and at the same time, looking to how things are now going currently, there is a matter of education. There is also the debate when it comes to the health system as to who must have the access. Also speaking in terms of the social grants, also it has come to infect that one also, whereby there are so many people who are not even receiving that, particularly speaking of the born right, or if I may say so, the South Africans.
Spiwa, what this current draft white paper is trying to fix is exactly that, to say with the first safe country principle, to say we can't have people coming all the way from West or East Africa to South Africa saying they're seeking asylum status. So that is going to be addressed in that clause. But what the minister has to do is that he has to maybe communicate or be in contact with other countries and check on the list of UN Convention signatories, which countries can be safer, first safe country for which, you know, now it's becoming the work of South Africa, because they have to provide that list for asylum seekers who come from West Africa to say, no, you can go to this country, here's to these two countries or wherever, countries that are next to you. But that would be done by Home Affairs. And now what I want to say is that South Africans, I know we have lost hope in our government. And I know that we have a government that we feel does not prioritize us, but it's very important to participate in such processes, because for a very long time, we Africans or black people have been, you know, I don't know, have been ignorant when it comes to policy drafting. And this is the stage where government is legally required to listen. We think that by going to to the streets or to schools to remove foreigners. That's unconstitutional. That's illegal. The next day, those people are back to the school where you remove them because the Human Rights Commission is going to fight for them. So this is the only stage where we are where our government is legally required to listen. And once this policy is final, it becomes very difficult to change it. If ordinary people don't speak now, decisions will be made without their voices, and they will live with the consequences, as we see.
Let's go. I would like us to go quickly on the break, and then when we're coming back, we're going to continue the conversation.
Aandag alle slim shoppers. Springbok Super Spar het dit nou nog makliker gemaak vir jou om te spaar en jou geliefdes te bederf. Spar het nou Super Cards. Die Super Shoppers kaart laat jou spaar elke keer as jy inkopies doen. En die gift cards is die perfekte geskenk vir enige geleentheid. Kry jou nou vandag by Springbok Super Spar en jy is 'n wenner met elke fantastiese inkopie ervaring. Springbok Super Spar, passievol oor ons gemeenskap.
He's a coward. The president of South Africa is a coward. And we can't tolerate this thing happening here in South Africa. Once it's Arab, we are poor people. And they target the poor people. No matter color, they're using us. That's why if we are together, we're going to bring this government down.
From Sunday, we've not received any tankers at all to assist the community to their places of employment. Children needed to get back to schools. And unfortunately, there was no water. They were promised water in their taps at 3 o'clock this morning. And we cannot have a community that like orphans.
Catch all the latest local, provincial to national news updates on the afternoon current affairs. Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 1 o'clock afternoon. Radio and FM.
Right up in there, and this afternoon we're examining as to what is this revised draft means for the citizens, immigrants, refugees, social cohesion, and the broader constitutional framework of our constitution. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the current debate which is happening in South Africa pertaining to the revised draft white paper on citizenship, immigration, and refugee protection, which was recently published by the Department of Home Affairs. And on the line we're having Princess Mthombeni, the co-founder of South Africans for the Constitutional Reform. But with all of that being said, Ms. Mthombeni, with all of that, we know that government also argues that tightening the immigration controls are some of the necessary for the economic stability. What is the impact could these proposed measures have onto the key sectors that is having the impact of when it comes to our economy? Activities and some of those concerned, as we know that some of the lender comes to a matter of asylum seekers having access to documentation, work, basic services under the new proposals.
What this paper is trying to do is exactly that, to have immigrants that will add value to our economy. How they're doing that is by offering these skills-based visa options, meaning we want to attract people who are coming to South Africa to give us skills that we are short of or we don't have completely. So that we have that visa now. But also for a very long time, the retirement visa was abused. I'm sure you saw a lot of comments or posts on social media where someone who's 18 years old would apply for a retirement visa in South Africa. So now that is going to change. If you the age limit for that visa now, or a retirement visa, would be 55 years old. And another, I think what they're going to change is those migrants who want to come and invest in South Africa, investors who want to come to South Africa and invest. But that is going to be a separate policy altogether because it doesn't fall under this. This white paper is just a high level document, and under it, there's going to be different visas. But also, as I said earlier on, there's an introduction of digital. digital systems, such as biometrics, which are going to be registered when you arrive at the border, so that we know who is in the country. Because currently, we don't know who's in the country. Everything was processed via paper. So that's going to happen. Also, there's something that was introduced called the electronic travel authorization, meaning also when you travel to South Africa, you'll first have to complete that. It takes about 10 minutes to do it on your phone. And it also records your face and biometrics, which I think those are good invention for South Africa, or those are good addition to our system that is already broken. And yeah, that's how it's going to work.
Quite very interesting, you know, boosting the economy and if they have any contribution. I would like to know, just from your perspective of view, do we have any space looking to the unemployment rate from the third quarter, which is says to be 31.9? It keeps increasing, although it may be 1% or something, but it's increasing daily.
Well, that is something different, which now belongs to Department of Labor. But what I can say, Sipiwe, is that to keep unemployment in a country, you need to industrialize. You need to build. You need to build more industries. And one of the things, now you are touching my passion, because I'm an energy person. I'm an energy person. I come from the energy sector. And there's a recent policy that was published by the Department of Electricity and Energy, the policy on energy, the draft revised, the integrated resource plan, which now says South Africa needs to build more nuclear power plants. That is, you know, that's how you start curbing jobs, because by building one power plant, you are opening an opportunity of thousands and thousands of jobs. So we need these various departments working together.
But with all of that being said, in holistically, you know, summarizing with all of that being said, this revised paper, who is it bringing first? Who is it prioritizing? South Africans, or would you say the foreign nationals? Or is it basically, or do we put the option of balancing everything?
No, we have to balance everything. So no one is being put first at this stage. But let me tell you about our proposal. Firstly, as SACR, we are saying that immigration and citizenship must be clearly defined as privileges. If you want to live in South Africa, you must respect our laws and our constitutional order. We also say asylum must return to its original purpose. Temporary protection for people fleeing real danger, not a long-term alternative to economic migration. On visa, we propose clear objective grounds for revocation, such as fraud, misrepresentation, criminal conduct, etc. Because in many countries, visas are conditional and can be withdrawn. I'm sure you saw a case where that South African in Australia, whose visa was revoked because he went to some Nazi rally, I think. We should be able to do that as South Africa, and that's not what we are currently doing. That's why you find the likes of Rutendo disrespecting us on social media and our government, because they know their visas will never be revoked. We also, there's a section on climate change migration, SPW, in this new draft white paper, so we don't support that. And reason being is that South Africa is not obligated under the 1951 UN Refugee Convention to treat climate displacement as refugee grounds. And we already face challenges enforcing asylum controls due to the Constitution's everyone's right and lack of reservations. And lastly, we are saying there should be a serious punishment for any employer who knowingly or negligently employs an undocumented or unlawfully present foreign national.
What would be the monitoring system that would be in place as that people are going into accordance? Although they may have a freedom, but it's somewhere somehow limited because their freedom will not much as be like South Africans. Because some of our laws come into court also, whatever they may be doing, activities which may be criminally, they will be deported, you know, because by tomorrow, somewhere, somehow, there seems to be too much democracy. By tomorrow, they get a bail and they roam around.
Well, we hope that the digital systems would be a way of monitoring them, which has not been happening. But yeah, I also think that people who come here in South Africa and actually as asylum or refugees, they get to be integrated in communities, meaning you are taking people who have nothing, integrating them into communities that have nothing, and you get shocked when there's violence and when the dudulas are duduling them. And so we propose that we should have refugee camps, and there is such an option on the draft revised white paper. But the reception camps are currently situated. We do have them. They are based in land somewhere. So what this white paper is proposing is to have them in the port, entry ports, or border gate, where people will be monitored. But unfortunately, once you receive your asylum status, that means you are free to integrate to community. Mm. Because, yeah, but if what is currently happening now, it means when you apply for asylum status and you are waiting, you can wait for years. But the current law says you must get a job, you must go to public hospital, you must go. And one of the things, I'm sorry to cut you, that we raised during the consultation process is that the issue of heavily pregnant women coming, crossing the border to South Africa. Some are even giving birth at the border to come to our public hospital. Unfortunately, that's our constitution.
Quickly, 30 seconds, because we are running out of time. Your intake pertaining to the specialized quota, which is also, I believe, that has been coming to the proposition of when it comes to some of these who committing crime or coming illegally, also for them to be able to be prosecuted, and the decision can be made in there also.
Yes, it's a good introduction as well, the citizenship court. So meaning that the court, the cases that relate to immigration asylum should be taken to that court, unlike before where you just went to our courts that are already full, already packed, and then your case would take forever to be attended to. So now there's that specialized court where people would go to in matters of citizenship, immigration, and asylum. But let me tell you something. The supreme law is the constitution, because when people don't win in these small courts, they appeal and go to the constitutional court through the likes of South African Human Rights Commission, SERI, all these NGOs that are against South Africans. Mm.
That it is all says to bounding to you as a South African, right up in there to the ground roots from our communities, for you guys to have a say in this, to be able to influence our constitution, to be able to be changed. Because at the end of the day, Supreme Court is the constitution of the day, and they go by whatever that is written in there. But with all of that being said, that it is says to be Princess Mthombeni, co-founder of South African for the Constitutional Reform, sharing the critical insights, rising constitutional concerns, and contributing to some to be informed and necessary national dialogue. Ms. Mthombeni, I would like to say thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
With all of that, the conversation reminds us that immigration policy is not only about the borders and security, but also about the human dignity, constitutional values, social cohesion, and also the future that we envision as the country. And also, we encourage our listeners to read, engage, and participate into the public consultation process, because policies of this magnitude affect us all directly or indirectly. But with all of that being said, from my side, CP and Ngong, I would love to say love, kisses, stay healthy. But most of it all, it is says, please stay safe wherever that you may be at. And also, please let us take into your mind and consideration that today, it says it to be International Day of Acceptance. So let us accept one another and fill our hearts with the sublime of powers of acceptance, as it is important to accept of certain things in life. Okay. And this holds the questionability of the holds of the cases of acceptability when it comes to disability, the persons especially who is living with it. But anyways, from my side, it's the Pew and Ngongo. Bye.
Radio NFM, die stem van die Namakwa mense, moedig die vryheid van spraak en die uiting van uiteenlopende sienings aan. Sienings van luisteraars en ateliergaste is hul eie en nie die van Radio NFM nie. Radio NFM neem alle programme op aan. Herhalende opmerkings, kreetaal, discriminerende sienings of skeltaal sal ook nie geduld word nie.